Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. Many of us are beginning to wonder what is happening in our country. We are seeing almost nonstop acts of terror and crime breaking out throughout our land. And on Friday night, we had one that very close to home here in Burlington, a shooting that five people are dead, including a daughter and her 95-year-old mother who had gone to Macy's. And that comes on the heels of last weekend in New York City, pipe bombs that 29 people were injured, and a knifing attack in the mall in St. Paul, Minnesota. 9 people were attacked. And during the week, rioting in Charlotte, North Carolina. And it seems to be going on and on. And we wonder oftentimes, why, Lord? Why is this happening? And what is it saying? What is coming? What is the next thing? Are we being set up for something bigger that is about to happen? Are these just distractions to hide what's really being planned? Something that might be even worse than we could even imagine. What is going on? So many of us, I think, are probably wondering that and having some of those thoughts. And if that is true, then it is a time for our faith to be strong and be put to the test. Because we really don't understand faith in our lives very well until something goes wrong. Something major happens, and your faith is really put to the test, and we find out what faith is all about. We begin to understand when we encounter a problem like that. That's when our faith works at its best. That's when it comes to the front. And that is what happened with the prophet Habakkuk in the Old Testament, who lived about 2,600 years ago in the land of Judah in Jerusalem. And a man that we know very little about other than what is found here in this little short writing. It is a minor prophet that deals with a major issue in life. And it is a jewel in the Old Testament. It's a book that is small, and you almost have to look it up in the table of contents to find it. It is the fifth book from the end of the Old Testament. But even though it's hard to find in your Bible, it's worth finding, because if you find it and you read it and study it and understand it, then it is a jewel. It is really worth the time to read this book. And it's not really a typical prophet book. Most prophets of the Bible were preachers who their books were largely the sermons that they preached and prophesied to the people of their day. And Habakkuk is different from that because it reads more like a personal journal that he is recording the conversations that he had with God and writing them down for us to understand the conclusion that he came to after he was able to sort through and assimilate what God was really telling him. Then he got it and he recorded this book so that we might see that conclusion that is so important. I think we can relate to that in our lives because some of us feel like not only the things that are happening in our country are troubling and raise questions, but we also sometimes are going through personal problems and struggles in our own lives. In addition to that, where we ask those same questions sometimes to God, Lord, why are these things happening to me right now? And we want answers and we cry out to God and we are overwhelmed and we are confused and trying to make sense of things in our lives. This book is really a very valuable, helpful study in times like that. And I think we can all identify with the things that Habakkuk was going through. Times of distress, times of heartbreak, times of where we feel like maybe we're almost on the verge of collapse emotionally, just dealing with the stress of things that are going on in our lives. And we really need a time to talk one-to-one with the Lord. That was what Habakkuk decided to do, to go and have a conversation with God and just ask Him, why is this happening? What is going on? The book of Habakkuk really is simple outline, and it's broken down that the first two chapters, it only has three chapters in the book. And you can read it in probably 15 minutes. And the first two chapters is where Habakkuk is having his conversation with God. And it is a personal conversation where it's back and forth. Habakkuk goes to God and he asks Him and he states his problem, and God comes back and answers him. And Habakkuk is even more confused over that, and he goes back to God and he asks Him again, well, why is that? Still doesn't make sense. And God then comes back and gives him a much fuller, more thorough answer. And then at the end of that time, it hits Habakkuk and he takes it in and thinks about it and he understands it. And so he writes a song then of praise to God. It is quite a change then that comes over Habakkuk, because when he starts out, he is very confused. And when he ends up, he is absolutely certain what the answer is. And he's giving praise to God for that. And that is a process that will work in your life and it will work in my life. When we are having these times, if we will go to God this way and search for the answers that God has already given us in His Word, And through prayer and through study of God's Word, He will give us the answers. And we too then can go to God in praise and exalt His name as a wonderful God who has all these things planned out, and we are able to then understand better what life is really all about. So the book is very simple that way, and it's a message that we can all understand and relate to. So beginning in the first two chapters is where he lays out his problems with God. And he begins to process through these problems as God is answering them for him. He begins there in chapter 1 by expressing his complaint to God in the beginning. And the Lord gives back his reply in a simple answer. But it's not what Habakkuk is expecting to hear. So he goes back and he asks God more to explain this. And God comes back in chapter 2 with that answer. And so then he gives his psalm of praise, his hymn of praise in chapter 3. So let's look at and see the complaint that he has as he expresses this to God there in the beginning. And in the opening verse of Habakkuk, it starts out by pointing out, it's saying, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. And this is meaning that this is something that was revealed to him. So it is a burden, it is a message, a prophecy that he saw. He received this from God. And that is why he is writing it and recording it to us. He then goes into his opening complaint here in verses 2 through 4. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear, even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. So we see that he was overwhelmed with the breakdown of morality and law and order in his city. Just like what we're seeing happening. The nation of Judah was in decline, deep moral decline at this time. And Habakkuk was trying to prophesy and minister to the nation of God's truth and faith in God. And yet he was seeing this all coming apart. And that same thing is happening today, not only in our country, but in many other places around the world. This very same thing is happening that was happening in that day. It's worse in many of the other countries. You know, we think that what is happening here is really bad, and we're seeing a lot of it. But you know, if we were to go to the Middle East, if we were to go to some of the other countries, it's a lot worse what's happening. Unbelievable. And just the terrorist attacks. You know, I subscribe to it's like a daily emails that comes on my phone emails. It's called the Jihad Watch, and it's amazing that we hear about several of these happening here, but they record them worldwide, and it's just unbelievable. The amount of attacks and violence that is happening throughout the world. And Habakkuk, he is feeling overwhelmed by this. And he is seeing that it really is happening. Even the morals of his own country, God's people, are coming down. And it is so discouraging and it's so upsetting to him. And he is then going through this as a prophet of God in his own mind. What am I going to do about this? I'm supposed to be the prophet of God giving the answers, and I don't even understand it myself. So that is why he is going to God asking them. And his question is, Lord, how long is this going to go on like this? Well, God then answers him. He comes back in verse 5 and gives him his answer. And he says, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. And then he goes on to tell him what it is. But when we hear that first part of what God is saying, we're kind of conditioned to be thinking, well, good, God is about to do something and solve this problem. I can't wait to find out what it is. And sometimes we think about it that way, that we go to God and we ask Him, and He is going to come back and He's going to fix the problem for us. That isn't what God is saying in this case to Habakkuk. He's saying, for indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. The Lord is saying, what I'm getting ready to do is, your country is about to be invaded. Habakkuk is listening to this, and he's thinking, you know, I'm really discouraged with our society, and we have some problems here. And I'm taking this to God, and I am hoping God is going to come down and solve this and help us get back on the right track. And so he's saying, Lord, how long do I have to put up with this crumbling culture and the collapse of godliness here in Judah? And God says, not much longer, actually, because I'm getting ready to do something that you're not going to believe. I'm going to let the Babylonians invade your country and destroy your land. I'm going to bring judgment upon the city of Jerusalem, and you're going to be carried away into captivity. Well, point of that is, Babylonians are a lot worse than anything going on in Judah. If you want to think about the Babylonians, what they were like, think about ISIS right now. Because things really haven't changed much in the Middle East in the last 2,000 years, if you want to be very clear about things. And if you want to think about how cruel the Babylonians were and how ruthless they were and how they treated people when they came in and took over, just think about ISIS, what they are doing when they come in and rape and pillage and behead people and burn their houses. The Lord is telling Habakkuk, saying, Lord, how long is it going to be till you do something? He's saying, not very long. I'm getting ready to do it right away. But it's probably not what you were expecting to hear. And so Habakkuk comes back then, and he is confused even more. And he says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment, O Rock. You have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and you cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he?" Habakkuk was wanting to know, Lord, how does this make any sense? I don't get it. How this is going to be what you will do to help our nation. He's saying, Lord, you are eternal. You look at things from the eternal perspective. We're down here on earth. We can only see a little bit of it. You're looking down from heaven. And you understand everything. And you have appointed these people to punish us? I don't understand, Lord. You are a holy God. You are too pure to look on evil. Why then would you select these people, these wicked Babylonians, to come upon us? Habakkuk is thinking, well, I understand we have our problems here in Judah, but the Babylonians? Come on, they are much worse than we are. How is it right for you to use them to destroy us? So why are we being attacked by foreign terrorist groups? What is going on? Why is this happening? Why were we hit by 9/11 way back in 2001? And why has it been happening and getting worse? And now we are seeing our country is infiltrated more and more. Immigrants and refugees are coming in, and more of these acts of terror and violence, and it seems no end in view. Why is this all happening? Why is God allowing it to happen this way? I mean, we have got our problems here in this country. But these people, look at what they do when they get people. They cut their heads off. They are awful, terrible people, what they do. And so God is telling us here in chapter 2, He says, okay, here it is. I'm going to explain to you more what the answer, why this is being done, why I am allowing this to happen. He's saying, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak, and it will not lie, though it tarries. Wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Write it down. It's going to happen in a very orderly way. There's a sequence to what is going to happen. And it's going to be at the appointed time. So it's all under the control of God. And whenever life doesn't make sense, we need to wait, because in the end it is all going to make sense. And it's all going to be good for God's people. If we are faithful to God as His people, in the end, it's all going to be good. And everything is going to work together for those who love God in the final outcome. God is going to work everything to the purpose of His will. He has a plan. And His plan is unchangeable. His plan is irresistible. It's undeniable. What are we supposed to do then in view of this? Well, verse 4, "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." This is the great verse in the book of Habakkuk. The just shall live by his faith. And the enemy is proud, he is puffed up, his desires are not upright, but the righteous person who lives by faith, he will survive. He will be blessed by God. It will all turn out for the good. Habakkuk really boils things down here to one sinful thing that we need to live by, and that is to live by faith. There are places in the Bible where it goes into many of the different commands, like in the Law of Moses, and Habakkuk summarizes it down: "The just shall live by faith." And that verse is quoted in the New Testament 3 times in the book of Romans and Hebrews and Galatians, and it is a underlying basic expression of the gospel and the plan of salvation that we have. The just shall live by faith. And there are times, really, in life when all you can do is live by faith. Because we can't fix the problems, we can't answer the questions, we can't right all the wrongs. All we can do is trust in God. We don't know the answers, but we know who the Lord is. He does have the answers. We have to live by faith in Him. So many times I have quoted myself Proverbs 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." And that gives me a lot of comfort. It gives me a lot of peace and hope to just stop and trust in God at that point. So God gives him that, but then he goes on to explain some more things in the remainder of this chapter. He begins to tell him here of what is coming here at the future, that the Babylonians are going to be judged. God is going to deal with the Babylonians. He said, "Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire and the nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And then he says in verse 20, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." He explains then to him that God is going to continue to work out His purposes and His plans, to eventually God's name and His salvation is going to be filling the earth with the glory of God. So that is comforting to Habakkuk to be able to see that from the beginning. But as far as he is being told in his life, you just have to live by faith. You have to trust God, that God is going to be in control and that God is going to work this out unto His glory. Don't panic. Don't give up. Don't lose your faith. Be calm. Remember, the Lord is in His holy temple. He is on His heavenly throne. Let the earth keep silent before Him. So if we look at Habakkuk chapter 1 and 2, it's very simple. Habakkuk goes to God and he says, "Lord, how long do I have to endure this?" The Lord says, "Not much longer, because actually things are going to get a lot worse before they get any better." And Habakkuk says, "Lord, I know that You see things from an eternal perspective, but this doesn't make sense to me. Why are You going to allow the Babylonians, a much more wicked nation, to come and inflict harm on Your own people?" The Lord says, "They are going to be judged. But in the meantime, I want you to trust Me. Live by faith, and let Me give you the conclusion of everything, and it is this, that one day the earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And until then, what you need to know is I am the Lord, and I am in My holy temple, and let the earth keep silent before Me." So Habakkuk thought about that. He began to try to put that all together in his mind and sort it out. And he then writes a hymn of praise in chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Habakkuk is a song. It is a hymn of faith. And there's several indications of that in verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk on Shiginoth. And this is some kind of a musical notation that was to be sung with instruments. And it says down at the end, to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. But it is a hymn of faith. It is a hymn of praise to God that is expressing the outcome of this question and this struggle, and put it into terms of, here's what the answer is. Here is the conclusion. You know, many great songs are written because of very deep, distressing circumstances that the author of the song was going through. And the well-known song, It Is Well With My Soul, it was written when the author of that, Horatio Spafford, he had just gone through a personal tragedy that his wife and his two daughters drowned in the ocean. And the song, There's Within My Heart a Melody, was written by Luther Bridges after his wife and his sons died in a fire. Two of the greatest songs that we have. And yet they were written in a time of great personal tragedy and grief that the writer had gone through. So he gives his praise to God. Habakkuk is writing a psalm of praise like this to God. And so he says in verse 4, His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hand, and there His power was hidden. It is a picture of how God comes down to help His people. God comes down from heaven to help His people. And He expresses that in this first part of the song in chapter 3. In verse 11, he says, The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. Then he closes with this beautiful section at the very close of the book. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And then he closes with this beautiful verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And He will make me walk on the high hills. You know, anyone that has been deer hunting probably can relate to this, how the deer are sure-footed. And they go up on the high mountains. And they can look down and see the whole countryside. And they are secure and they're strong. And so it's a picture like the one that we talked about last week, where God will make us to mount up with wings like eagles if we wait on the Lord, and He will renew our strength. Here he's saying, the Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like deer's feet, and make me walk on my high hills. But he's talking about the fact that if the fig tree doesn't blossom, the apple trees don't grow. You know, if the whole flock is lost, I mean the whole harvest that year. So like when we lived in California, they had the citrus orchards there along the coast. And you have your orange trees and your lemon trees and all of those, you know, they're tightly grown, and you have the rows in between them. They're beautiful. But every year, they can have a freeze about this time of year. It's just when the lemons are getting ready, you know, they have to be very careful that it doesn't come a cold freeze at night. So they have the smudge pots. And they're positioned out there and they have fans. And they go out there and they set the smudge pots burning at night. And they blow the fans. Because if that freezes over, it's going to ruin the whole crop that year. Habakkuk is saying, though, that if that happened, everything else went bad. Still, we're going to rejoice in the Lord and live by faith in Him, because He has promised us that in the end, His knowledge is going to fill the world. And those who live by faith, the just will live by faith. That was the answer that Habakkuk got from that. So we are asking the same questions today. Lord, why is all this happening? What are we supposed to do? What's coming next? Is someone coming in is going to invade our country and, you know, do slaughter on many millions of people? Is there going to be a nuclear attack or something beyond description? Is that what's about to happen? Are we going to lose our country? And we just have to trust that God is righteous and God is in control. And the main thing is live by faith in God. Because God is going to bring His people through to the end. And there is a lot to be said for living a godly life and the influence that you have serving God and being faithful to Him and doing what we can to pray for our country and teach other people and train up our own children and teach them godly principles. So there's many things that we can do, but we're not going to be able to solve all the questions. We can't fix the problems. We have to live by faith in God. And the bottom line is that the Lord is our strength, and He will make our feet like deer's feet, and He will make us walk on the high hills. We live by faith, then we're going to be able to live on the mountaintops and know that God is our God. If you're here this morning and subject to the invitation, we're going to stand and sing the song that's been selected. And if you are subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ to come and believe in Jesus as the Son of God, repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ, we are happy to assist you while we stand together and sing.